Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, the first Gospel of the New Testament, Matthew, chapter 5. And reading verse 3. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And our subject this morning is a blessed poverty, a blessed poverty. Blessed are the poor. And we come this morning to consider these words, and this will be a very simple gospel message. This morning we have in recent weeks turned to the Old Testament for our evangelistic messages and looked at events in the Old Testament that are pictures of the New Testament gospel and the work of Christ and the way to seek and find the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. And I trust that those pictures have been a great blessing to you and to those who have heard those messages. But we're going to just look very simply, very straightforwardly at these words here in the New Testament and in this very famous sermon of the New Testament, the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ himself preaching. If we ever wonder what it was like to hear the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we cannot go back in time to the time and the place when the Lord Jesus Christ lived, but we don't have to in a sense because we have the sermons of the Lord Jesus Christ preserved and recorded for us. And this is the most famous sermon that we have, the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps it's the most famous sermon because it's the first sermon that we get to in the New Testament that we see the Lord Jesus Christ delivering, chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. Perhaps that's why it's so popular, because it's the first thing. And the first few words of this sermon, they are perhaps the most well-known part of the Sermon on the Mount, perhaps with the exception of the Lord's Prayer. But many people, certainly down through the centuries, have known the Beatitudes, or what are known as the Beatitudes, those words that begin, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and so on. All of the verses that begin with blessed, they are called the Beatitudes because of the Latin name, or the Latin word for blessed. It comes from that word. But the Beatitudes, well, they are so wonderful. And when we read these Beatitudes, and in fact, when you read this whole sermon, something that comes across very clearly is that the word of God is so very different to the word of men. And we say this constantly, don't we? The word of God, well, it runs counter. It's the opposite. It runs in the opposite way to the way that men think. And this is an important point because, you know, many of you, if not all of you, many of you will know that the accusation is often made against the Bible that it's just the word of men. It's just men that have written the word of God, that have written the Bible. It's not really the word of God at all. It's people like Moses, it's people like Isaiah. They are the ones who wrote the Bible. It's not God, it's just these ancient Jews and so on. But this is the word of God. I say to people, have you actually read the Bible? If you just start reading the Bible, you will see how different it is to anything that man has ever produced or anything that man would ever think of producing. It is so very different. It goes against the way that we naturally think. Yes, men were those who wrote it down, but it pleased God to employ men to write down what he would have to say to us. It's in the same way in which we use a pen. If we use a pen, well, we employ a pen to write, but it's not the pen that is writing down its thoughts. We are the ones who are writing down our thoughts. This is how God used men like Isaiah, men like Moses. They were pens in the hand of the Almighty God. That is so often how it's described. So it is truly the word of God. And when we start to read the word of God, well, it becomes very clear to us. This is not how men think. For example, well, let's just look at this verse here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Is this how men think? Is this really the way that men would construct a religion? Blessed are the poor. To the natural man, well, there is nothing good about being poor. The concept of being poor is not seen as a blessing. It's not seen as a good thing. Of course not. Man does not aspire to be poor. If somebody is poor, they don't want to remain poor, and they don't even like to admit that they're poor if they are poor. Man does not desire such a thing. It's not a good thing in any sense to be poor, according to men. But what does the Lord say in his word? Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. The Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is equating being poor with being something that is good. Very good, in fact. Not just good, blessed. Blessed. Do you know what blessed means? Well, we could translate it. Some have translated it happy. This is what true happiness is. Again, this is totally counter to what men think. You can be happy when you're poor. That's not what men think. But this is what the Lord says. True happiness belongs to those who are poor. Blessedness, wonderful things. And blessedness, of course, well, it has that spiritual application. To be blessed means to be accepted of God. To be blessed means to know the favor of God. And this is, well, this is why it's a wonderful state. The poor in spirit, they are truly blessed. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of a certain kind of poverty, a certain kind of being poor. He's speaking here about being poor in spirit. But I just want to just spend a few times applying a few moments applying these words to material wealth, to material riches, and to material poverty, because these are lessons that even we as Christians need to learn at times or need to be reminded of. Blessed are the poor. To be materially poor can be a great blessing. This is, well, it's clear from the scriptures. I'll try and show it. But to be materially poor, well, it is a blessing. Blessed are the poor. I am aware that many churches, many preachers will say the exact opposite of what I'm saying this day. Many churches will say that, to be blessed is to be materially rich. If you're rich and if you have a big house and a big car, then you're blessed. That's what so many preachers and you watch the Christian TV shows and so on, they will say this. You want to be blessed? You must be rich. That is what so many people say. Blessed are the rich. And they will point to certain examples. Abraham is normally the one that they point to. He was a godly man. He was rich. Well, yes, he was. But dear friends, he was an exception. An exception. An exception is not the norm. I know we live in an age where people like to make the exception the norm, the normality, but he was an exception. The vast majority of believers that we read of in the Bible and that we read of throughout history, they were very poor, or they had at the very least limited means. That is the nature of Christianity. The Lord Jesus Christ, well, we could mention many, but the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our model. He is our example. Who was he? He was a poor man. If you did go back in time and meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, this would be your first impression. He is a poor man. He has limited means. He doesn't wear fine clothing. He doesn't even have a house. He doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. We don't read in the scriptures that he had any real possessions at all. No real possessions. He was a poor man. And yet he, of course, was the most blessed man in history. He was the most blessed man in history. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest favor of the Lord was upon him. And he was a poor man. So this is a great principle to take from the Word of God. Now, I would not go so far as to say that it is sinful to be rich. It's not a sin to be rich. But I would say that you're not necessarily blessed. You can't say, I'm rich and therefore I'm blessed. You can't say that. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, let me read you what the Bible says. They that will be rich, this is in Paul's letter to Timothy, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. That doesn't sound like a blessing to me. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. You know, to be rich, it opens you up to far greater temptation than you would have if you were poor. To be rich, it opens you up. If you are poor, well, there are some sins you literally cannot afford to commit because you're poor. You can't afford to commit certain sins. But when you're rich, well, then you can do anything. You can indulge your heart's desire. And that is a far greater temptation. This is why the Bible is right, of course, isn't it? They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. To be so rich, why you have that luxury, as it were, to indulge in certain sins that are not available to the common man when you have a lot of money. That temptation is so far greater. The opportunity to sin is so far greater. And you hear of this, well, so often. Sometimes you hear of young people particularly who suddenly start earning a lot of money. It could be maybe pop stars or film stars or footballers. And you hear about how because of the money, they lost control. They couldn't handle the money. And they went into drugs, they went into alcohol, and their careers and their lives were ruined because they had money at such an early age. If only they had stayed poor. They might have had hope, but they had so much money, they couldn't handle it. It destroyed them. This is what the Bible says. Blessed are the poor, dear friends. You hear people who say, well, they won the lottery. And what do they tell you? Well, it was the worst thing that could possibly have happened to me. My life changed, and it wasn't for the better. Dear friends, this is why we read such things. It goes against the culture of this world. It goes against man's human instinct, as it were. But this is the teaching. Blessed are the poor. Is anybody here in this state? Some people, and again, well, this can apply to Christians. Some people will look to money to replace God. To replace God. They will look to money to protect them, to be their security. The Lord is not really their protection. I must have money, enough money in the bank. That's the first thing. Some people will think that money, it's money that provides for me. It's money that gives me my daily bread. It's not the Lord. It's money that gives me my happiness. I can't be happy with the Lord. I have to have lots of money. Money replaces God, dear friends. The riches of this world, it provides that temptation. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor, dear friends. And money, well, it will take priority. The Lord said, this is very challenging for us, even in this sermon, he says this, Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is just a biblical word for material wealth. You cannot serve. I see at times people trying to do this. I'm going to serve God, but I'm also going to try and get as much money as possible. You can't do it. God will always come second if you have that attitude. He's always second. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. Dear friends, you have to repent. If you're a Christian, you have to repent. You put the Lord first. If it's a choice between me earning money or serving the Lord and worshiping Him, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I will serve God. This is the teaching of the Word of God, and this is a snare that we can all fall into. We must be very careful. We must repent. Remember the rich young ruler, who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said to the Lord, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" The Lord said to him, "You have to leave all your riches and come and follow me." And he couldn't do it, could he? Because he was so rich. You see, you cannot serve God and mammon. That's the example that we see in the scriptures. That's the teaching of the scriptures. And so, dear friends, even as Christians, we have to be very careful about this. And I just wanted to say a few things just stir up those of us who do know the Lord here this morning to make sure that we have the right priorities. Blessed are the poor. But let us apply it spiritually. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This is what the Lord himself says. Well, who are those who are poor in spirit? Those who are poor in spirit, well, they are those who show humility. Humility. They are poor in spirit. They're not full of themselves. They are not puffed up. They are not proud. Again, this can be a result of great wealth. Those who are rich, materially rich, they are so often puffed up. They are so often those who are very proud of themselves. We are very important people. Why? Because we have lots of money. And they are so puffed up. They're not poor in spirit. The two go together. Materially rich very often leaves you very proud. You're not poor in spirit at all. And somebody who is proud, of course, well, they will be very self-sufficient. A rich person is self-sufficient, doesn't feel as though they need to depend on anybody else. We are rich. I don't need anything. I am totally self-sufficient. Well, dear friends, if you want to draw near to the Lord, that is a terrible state to be in. We have to depend upon the Lord. We are entirely dependent upon God in matters of salvation. This is why sometimes when we go out and we knock on doors, we have this attitude in an affluent community, which is, most of the people here in East Dulwich, they do not want to hear anything about the Lord. They think they're rich. They're not poor in spirit. We have everything that we need. We have money, we have material riches. We don't need to depend on anybody. I have my wealth, and that is enough for me. And so they don't see their need. But the poor in spirit, they see their need. They see that they are poor. They see that they are needy. They are willing to receive help. And they are willing to trust entirely in the Lord. Salvation is entirely of the Lord. I hope we all know this. This is a basic teaching of the Word of God. We ourselves, we cannot be accepted of God. We cannot find acceptance with God by ourselves. We cannot find favor with God by ourselves. We're poor. We are not rich. We cannot earn the acceptance of God. We are poor. And so this is the teaching of the Word of God. Of course, it goes against all the other religions. All the other religions, well, there is a measure in which they depend upon themselves. The man-made religions, this is how man thinks. Man thinks that in order for him to be right with God, he has to do something himself. I just do my good works, my good deeds, and God will like me enough to allow me into heaven and give me all the blessings. Dear friends, you can't do that. That's man-made religion. What does the Word of God say? It goes against this. It says we have to be saved freely. We have to be saved freely. Again, rich people, they don't like receiving anything freely. The poor, yes, of course, they will gladly receive something free. Yes, I am poor. I need all the free things that I can get. The rich, they look down their noses at things that are free. I'm not taking freebies. That I'm above all that. I've got wealth. I'm proud. I'm not going to stoop down to the level of the poor man. And so somebody like that, well, they reject the grace of God and they turn away from it and they say, I am good enough. Perhaps they have the same attitude as so many Pharisees and scribes, as the rich young ruler. Remember the rich young ruler? He thought that he had kept the Ten Commandments. He thought that was the way to earn acceptance with God. And people have this misconception. I hope there's nobody here who has this misunderstanding. In order for me to be right with God, in order to be a Christian, I just have to keep the Ten Commandments. And then God will like me and I'll be saved. That is totally wrong. In terms of our salvation, it's not by keeping the law. The law actually teaches us how sinful we are. The law doesn't lead us to God. It doesn't lead us to acceptance or salvation with God by keeping the law. It actually shows us how sinful we are. You see the law? It is so high. The standard is so high. You cannot do it. You can't do it. Anybody who says they can keep the Ten Commandments, they've never actually really tried. Because if you tried to do it, you will see that you can't do it. You can't stop lying. You can't stop stealing. You can't stop having those covetous thoughts or those lustful thoughts or those proud thoughts. If you think it's by the law, you can't do it. It shows us how far we fall short. It actually exposes our sin. And well, let me put it to you in this way. When we see the law, we know that every time we break the law, and we break the law 100 times at least every day, it shows us our great debt, the great debt that we have. Every time we lie, every time we steal, we are amassing a great debt against God. So many people, they are unaware of the debt that they have against God. That great debt, you know, when I was at university, some of my friends would be in great debt, but they would never know how much debt they were in because they never checked their bank account. It was too painful for them. They knew that they were in debt, but they didn't want to know how much. I'm not going to look at the bank account. It's going to depress me too much. You know, this is how so many people are concerning the things of God. Every day we sin. Every day we are amassing a debt, but we don't want to know about it. We'd rather just ignore it. Forget about it. Don't go to church. Nobody wants to go to church. Nobody wants to hear about the things of God. They don't want to be reminded of the great debt that they owe to the Lord, a debt that has to be paid. We have to stand before God one day. There's a debt to your name. You're not in credit. You're not rich. There's a great debt to your name. Whatever your name is, there's a list of debts. The things that you have done in your life, that debt has to be paid. It has to be paid. It's not just going to be written off. It has to be paid. But dear friends, this is the good news, of course. The Lord Jesus Christ came to pay our sin debt on the cross. We have sinned. We owe God for our sins. The punishment for sin is death. Christ has come to pay that debt, to die in our place on the cross. Father, punish me. I will pay it. I will pay the price for all those who trust in me. Yes, they have sinned. They've sinned greatly. My people, my children. But I will die for them. My shed blood, my blood will be the payment. That's the only payment that God will accept. The shed blood of Christ, the only currency. And so this is what it means to be poor in spirit. Lord, I can do nothing to save myself. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. All I'm in is great debt because of my sin, which I can never repay. I must trust in Christ. He's the only one who can pay off my sin debt. And he has paid it. He's paid it in full. He shed his precious blood. I must trust in him. Dear Lord, give me that faith. Give me that trust that I may be saved. Dear friends, are you poor in spirit? Go to the Lord. Go to him. Pray. Don't be proud. Don't think that you're a good person. You know, we could look, if we had time, to another great passage in the New Testament. You will know it, some of you. There were two men praying. One was a Pharisee, a religious man, who thought he could be good enough for God by keeping the commandments and by doing good works. And he prayed to God in this way. Well, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "Oh God, I am so thankful I'm a good person. I'm so thankful I'm not somebody who is in sin. I do my tithes. I give my tithes. I pray. I fast. I'm so wonderful." He's so full of himself. But then next to him, there was a publican, a tax collector. How did he pray? He couldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven. He was so conscious of his sin. He was poor in spirit, in other words. But we read that he was the one who was justified before God. He was the one accepted. That's the teaching of the Word of God. And this is what it is. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You have to pray like that man. Don't go thinking there's anything in you that's good. There is nothing good in you. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's what we sing. And that is how we are saved. So, dear friends, blessed are the poor in spirit, the poor materially, even, we could say. But let me just finish by saying this. Those who are poor in spirit actually receive the greatest riches. They receive the greatest riches. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? Is the kingdom of heaven. They have the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Well, essentially, that's speaking about their salvation. They are saved. To be in the kingdom of heaven really means you are saved. Even on this earth, we don't have to wait until we die and go to heaven to be in the kingdom of heaven. We are in the kingdom of heaven the moment we believe, because we are poor in spirit, because we've humbled ourselves, because we've repented. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. No money can buy that. Your salvation, your acceptance with God, your peace with God. Blessed are they that mourn. They've mourned over their sins, for they shall be comforted. We have that comfort, that forgiveness. We know that we are forgiven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who don't go looking after this world's riches, what do they inherit? They inherit the whole world. Well, in some ways, this is speaking about the very end of time. You will know what happens at the very end of time. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. This world, this heaven and this earth is only temporary. It's going to be wrapped up like a scroll. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Who does that new heaven and that new earth belong to? It's only those who are poor in spirit, poor in this world. If you've had the riches of this world, well, you've had your fill. You've lived for this world. You will die with this world. The new heaven and the new earth is for these people. They are the ones who are truly blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And so we have to ask ourselves, does this speak of me? Am I trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Christ alone? Am I still thinking, I am a good person? Am I still puffed up with my own pride? Dear friends, that will lead to nothing but eternal loss, to eternal hell. We must turn to the Lord and trust in him entirely. See your poverty, depend upon the Lord, and receive the grace, that free gift of salvation, and you will be blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.